third reading, after which we will have a brief devotion, the crucifixion of Jesus. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place which is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the scoffers ridiculed him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we think about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and why we call a day that commemorates the death of the Son of God Good Friday, I want us to think about the crucifixion and also the confession of this thief on the cross who cried out in faith before he perished. As we think about crucifixion, this is a scene that is very well known to the audience that Luke would have been written. All throughout the Roman world, crucifixion was a word that struck terror into people's hearts, and they knew exactly what it entailed. I have a seminary professor who meant a lot to me, who almost every Easter would make a point of saying that he thought it very odd that many churches had golden crosses on tables and in various places, because to the original audiences, a golden cross would have been a complete contradiction in terms. That would be similar to one of us walking around with an execution chair hanging around our neck. That's how the ancient world viewed the cross. Perhaps in more modern terms, it would be like they thought of the term crucifixion much like we think of the term waterboarding. It's something that's a method of torture. It's something that we don't talk about or relate in public or in decent company. In fact, there's a scholar named Thomas Holland who wrote a book, Dominion, talking about the influence of Christianity in the Western world. And he noted that if you look at the ancient world, the Bible is by far the book with the most detailed account of any crucifixion, because the crucifixion was such a horrible thing and such a shame that the cultures in that day did not consider it worthy to write and record in detail for memory what happened to those who underwent it. Crucifixion was a painful and a shameful way to die. We note here at the beginning of the text that they laid the cross on Simon of Cyrene. The Romans had this practice down to an art and a science. They had these poles staked in the ground, and then the cross beam on which you would hang for crucifixion was placed upon you, and you would have to carry it to the place where you were to die. But oftentimes you did this in a state of sleep deprivation, as they would intentionally keep you awake, a place of hunger and dehydration, so that it was not unusual for someone like Jesus not to be able to carry his own cross. And so they had to compel Simon of Cyrene to do this for him. as if being in a state of dehydration and hunger and exhaustion were not enough, the Romans would often give a flogging and a scourging, a beating with hands, a beating with rods, and in particular with scourgings, that would be done with a cat of nine tails, where they would take leather and embed in it glass and stone and rock, and this would be used to whip the back of the victim. Finally, the method of dying on the cross was itself one of the worst ways that you could die in the ancient world. You were hung on the cross, and by design, you did not bleed to death. You slowly suffered exposure to the elements, and in particular, the cross was designed so that over time you would wear out, and as you hung on the cross, you would slowly suffocate to death. And that was the process that Christ was undergoing when we read about his crucifixion. But even still, it is remarkable that in the midst of this, you still see some in the people of Jerusalem weeping and mourning for him. But he turns to them and says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Here Jesus warns the daughters of Jerusalem, as terrible as what I'm going through is, there is something that you need to be aware of. It seems as though the words of Jesus fit the description of 70 AD, when God came in judgment on unbelieving Israel, and the temple and the city were burned and destroyed. And so it is remarkable that even with all that Jesus is going, he still fills the role of God's greatest prophet, even undergoing this agony and seeing those who are lamenting and crying for him. He still cries out, "Beware the judgment of God that is to come." And so as we see him undergoing this, we ask the question, why do we call this good? If this day is the day in which we remember a historical event in which the Son of God, who became man, was tortured and beaten and killed, why would Christians call this good? We call this Good Friday not because of what happened to Christ, but what Christ was doing through those sufferings that he was undergoing. The heart of what Jesus was doing was working salvation for his people. That is why the text tells us when they were led to Golgotha, or the place of the skull where he and the criminals were to be crucified, you do not hear Jesus coming with right words of condemnation against those who killed him, though that would have been appropriate. But what you hear Jesus saying is, "And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Even to the people who had humiliated him, even to the people who had consigned him to death, even to the people who mocked him, who scoffed at him, who divided his garments, who offered him sour wine, the Lord Jesus' heart is full of compassion and forgiveness. The Bible tells us that all men are sinners. We, like Adam and Eve, our first parents, have sinned and broken God's law. And so we are under the just condemnation of God. And that is why Jesus came to live a perfect life, and in particular, to die and suffer the humiliation of the cross in order to take the wrath of God, so that those who have faith and repent of their sins and turn to him might be saved. We call this good not because of what was done to Jesus, but what, according to the predestined plan of God, God the Father and the Spirit did through Jesus in providing for you and for me the forgiveness of God, so that all the judgment Jesus experienced on our behalf, we would never have to hear. Jesus heard the words of mocking and ridicule, the pain, the suffering, the process of death, and even the wrath of God itself, so that you and I could hear, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace." Jesus came suffering in this way so that you and I might have peace with God. And we see what the Lord Jesus does in response to these two criminals. We're told that after they put this inscription over him, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him and said, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he, Jesus, said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." As an old preacher put it, as you see these two criminals hanging beside Jesus, going through the same suffering and agony, you see one rebuking Jesus and reviling him, but you see one responding in humility and in faith and in repentance. As one old preacher put it, one man died that day in anger, the other died in appeal. One died a blasphemer, but the other died a believer. One man died in condemnation, the other died in contrition. One man died deriding Jesus, the other man died in deciding to follow him. One man died in exclusion, while the other died in election. One man died in the folly of his sins, while the other died in faith. One man died guilty, while the other experienced grace. One died that day and went to hell forever. The other died and went to heaven with his Savior. As we think about these two thieves and the way they died, the question for you and me this evening is, how will you die? Are you someone who has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and has repented of your sins and turned to God in Christ in faith? If so, you can have the same assurance of salvation that this man died, knowing because of the words of Jesus to him. When he says to Jesus, "Not much, but Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," you see and hear the seed form of what Jesus always responds to, which is faith and repentance. This man on the cross, we don't know his name, we don't know his background, other than he was a sinner, other than he was a thief, he was a malefactor, he was somebody who was indeed guilty. But you see him expressing in these words that he knows he was guilty. He rebuked the other thief, saying, "You and I deserve this." But this man, Jesus, he deserved none of this. And so this thief on the cross who received the grace of Jesus acknowledged his guilt. He second acknowledged that Jesus was not guilty and that he was innocent as he was dying. He also acknowledged that Jesus would conquer death, because why would this thief on the cross who was speaking to Jesus, both of them dying, say, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom"? Not if you come into your kingdom, but when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And finally, you see him just pleading with that one simple word, remember. Remember me, Jesus. This is the simple cry of faith that all throughout his ministry and for 2,000 years and more, the Lord Jesus has been responding to those who will look to him in faith and in repentance. If you're here this evening and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you've never repented of your sins and come to saving faith in him, you, like the rest of us, stand guilty before the law of God. But Christ made himself to be under the law so that he might redeem those of us who are sinners and give us righteousness that we did not earn, forgiveness that we cannot merit, and a home with him in eternity that cannot be taken away. Oh, would that be true for you today? Come to Jesus. But for those of us who do know the Lord Jesus, as we reflect on this Good Friday, let us remember the words of Jesus that he said to that man, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He said those words to that man who was dying, though he knew probably not much about the Lord Jesus in the grand scheme of things, but he knew enough to call on him as his Savior. And if you and I will call on him for salvation, that same promise is ours, that when we die, we will be with the Lord. And as we will celebrate on Sunday, yes, even though we die, like Christ, through his power, we will be raised from the dead. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, we pray that everyone here would find salvation in Jesus and in his blood and his righteousness. And for those of us who do know him, O Lord, cause us to rejoice just as that dying thief did that day, that there is indeed a fountain filled with blood that washes us from our sins and gives us peace with God. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.